To thank Dan for inviting me to fill in the pulpit this morning is always an honor to be asked to preach somewhere. I just hesitated about saying it's an honor because, I mean, let's face it, it's Saturday, you've got nobody. So, so Dan asked me. But it is an honor to be able to fill in and to try to help out as much as possible. I like to read Matthew chapter 27, verse 45 and verse 46, and then pray. Wait until I get my glasses on. I can see the scriptures better with them on. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 45. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness all over the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Let us pray. Father, we do pray for your presence to be with us here this morning at High Desert. Father, we pray for your spirit to be with each one of us, to open up our hearts and our minds, to look at your scriptures and see what the message is in here that you have for us this morning. Father, bless us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was thinking of what to preach on, or what to speak on this Palm Sunday, I could only really think of how Jesus' humanity was displayed before the people during his last week of life prior to his resurrection. We know that Jesus was fully God and fully human. And today I would just like to look a little bit at how his humanity was laid out for people, especially at that time, and of course for us. In Matthew chapter 27, the last part of verse 46 expresses his humanity as Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? I want to focus on his humanity and what he saw during his Passion Week, what he saw while he was on the cross, and what he sees today. As I share a true story, think about what the parents saw with their eyes. My wife, Donna, had a cousin with four children. She had a daughter, a son, and twin boys. When the oldest one, the daughter, was 13, she developed a brain tumor. They told her she had 1 year to live, and she did. She lived that year, and then she passed on. Her parents watched her dying for those 12 months, day by day. A few years later, the father was behind his house with one of the teenage boys cutting logs. The father parked a tractor on the incline, and as the son walked behind the tractor, the emergency brake popped off, and the tractor rolled back, crushing his son against a tree. So the father had to get his wife to help carry their dead son out of the woods. Not long after that, the father was changing a truck tire. It exploded and blew off some of his face in one eye. And then the two remaining sons married Jehovah's Witnesses, which meant no more Christmases, no more birthdays, no Mother's Day. All of that was gone. Now, each parent had to watch all of that play out in front of them. Now, Jesus watched his life play out in front of him with agony. But there was a major difference between the agony of what Jesus saw and what those parents saw. Jesus's agony is that he planned and designed all of the agony that he saw for our benefit. A big difference between human suffering and Jesus suffering. He planned it, and we benefit from that. Jesus' Passion Week began with Jesus entering Jerusalem triumphantly, and he was being treated like a king or a hero. Now, what did Jesus see as he was entering Jerusalem so triumphantly? Monday morning, he saw people praising him. But later, the same day, he went and he saw business being conducted in the temple. He cleansed it by throwing those people out. Then he cursed a fig tree, which was symbolic judgment on Israel. Tuesday, the Pharisees, the Herodians, and the Sadducees joined forces against Jesus, and he literally saw all that was going on. On Wednesday, Judas conspired with the Sanhedrin to betray Jesus. Again, Jesus watched all that being played out. On Thursday, Jesus celebrated Passover with his disciples prior to his arrest and crucifixion. He looked at each disciple as he gave them symbols of remembrance for his body and blood. He looked straight at the traitor Jesus as he served him the elements, and he watched the traitor taking the elements, certainly in an unworthy manner. In Matthew chapter 26, in verse 31, Jesus, looking at his disciples during Passover, this Last Supper, said, "You will all fall away because of me this night." What do you think his eyes understood as he said, "Every one of you are going to betray me tonight"? And here he was looking at them. When you get home tonight or this afternoon, spend a little time thinking about what Jesus must have been thinking about those 12 men that had been with him and had served with him for those 3 years' time. What do you think it was he was thinking about as he looked at them specifically? In Matthew 26, in verse 38, Jesus asked in agony if it were possible for the cup to be taken from him that he was going to drink. Then, here he is in agony, and then he saw the disciples sleeping. It meant nothing to them what he said. They slept. He asked them, "Can't you keep watch with me for just 1 hour?" Remembering, we're focusing on his humanity and what he was looking at and what he saw and what he thought about. After his betrayal, he went before the chief priests, Pilate and Herod. He had trials by the Jews and the Romans. He survived beatings and whippings. He saw all of that taking place before him. He saw it even though his face and his eyes had been beaten. Luke chapter 22 and verse 64 says that at one time Jesus was blindfolded as they were hitting him. He couldn't see the blows that were coming towards his body. Perhaps in his humanity there was fear in those eyes behind the blindfold. You know a blow is coming, but you don't know from what direction and where it's going to land. John chapter 19, starting at verse 1 and following, it says, Jesus was mocked by the soldiers as they dressed him in a purple robe, and a crown of thorns was twisted into his head. His eyes must have been darting from person to person as they were doing these various things to him. Eyes of understanding. But remember, we're thinking about Jesus in his humanity this morning. What did that human Jesus see as these things were taking place? On that Friday, what we call Good Friday, he was crucified. Mark 15:33 says the whole land was dark for 3 hours. Since Jesus was fully human, it was just as dark for him as it was for everyone else. Maybe even a little bit darker. Now, what else did Jesus see when he was on the cross? Matthew 27:34 says that he was given sour wine mixed with gall. we were visiting a church one time. They served communion. They served wine. And they served some sour wine. You could smell it coming, okay? Sour wine is not good. Even when you smell it, it's not good. He says it was mixed with gall. He watched as that mixture was being lifted up to his mouth, asking him to drink of it. What do you think was the last thing that Jesus, in his humanity, saw prior to his burial? I just want to pick out three passages to think about. The one I read to you in Matthew 27, the last part of verse 46. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? When he uttered those phrases and he was looking out at the crowds, what do you think he saw? What registered in his mind? What vision did he pick up on as he was looking at the crowds? John chapter 19 and verse 30 says, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. When he said, it is finished, do you think he was looking up towards the heavens? Or was he looking around at the crowds? He knew it was finished. And he saw certain things. He got certain visuals. Luke chapter 23 and verse 46. He said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Again, what did he see or visualize as he said that? Here's some of what Jesus saw in the crowds. As he looked out at the crowds, he saw some people rejoicing in the fact that he was dying. Some others were depressed or discouraged. Some people just didn't understand what it was that was going on. Those I saw, some people who were just plain curious. They were just there looking to see what was going on. And some others, they just plain enjoyed the sport of crucifixions. They did a lot of crucifixions. A lot of people would go just to see it, just to watch. They liked it. It was a sport to a lot of people at that time. After the crucifixion, when Jesus was in the tomb, what did he see? He went from seeing evil gloating to beholding something beyond description. His soul was with his Father. What a sight. Jesus went from seeing all that went on during the Passion Week to come face to face with his Father in heaven. What a glorious thing that's going to be for all Christians, for all people who are born again. Someday, regardless of what your life has been on this earth, and for some people it's pretty bad, all of a sudden you see your Father. You see the Father in heaven. What a glorious sight that will be. But regardless of how we pass from this earth, or what we see as we pass, in an instant, believers will see the same thing that Jesus saw, something glorious beyond description. Our souls will be with Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the Father. But when Jesus' time was in the grave was over, he again left that which was perfect to return to earth. The difference was when he came back after being in the grave, his soul came back. It wasn't as a baby turned man. He came back as a resurrected Savior. Passion Week ended, and a resurrected Jesus started ministering to his people at that time, and he continues ministering to his people today. Now listen to me, and this is important. Those eyes of Jesus looked out across the centuries and saw each one of us. As those eyes saw our sins, Jesus was reminded of why he did what he did. Think of this. You are a reminder to Jesus Christ of why he did what he did. Makes you kind of important, doesn't it? You're important to Jesus. You're so important to Jesus that he did all that he did that you could be here worshiping him and the Father and the Holy Spirit. Jesus was born with the eyes of a baby. He grew up with the eyes of the Savior. And his eyes are focused on us, were focused on us even as he was nailed to the cross. I'm doing this for these people. And he looked right up to where we are today. But I tell you the truth, Jesus saw more than faces. He saw each of us personally with our needs. Our greatest, deepest need is forgiveness for sins against ourselves, against others, and against the Holy God. Picture the eyes of Jesus looking at you right now. Now, what does he see as he views your thoughts and your motives? Are you committed to Christ, or are you just buying time until who knows what? But somehow you're trying to pass the time, and so you're in church just waiting for whatever may happen. Let us consider a few expressions he may have on his face as he looks at us right now, right here, okay? Expressions on the face of Jesus as he's looking at us right now. Is he smiling because we're such a special group? Are we such special people? Maybe. Who knows? Does he have a bored look on his face? I doubt it. I've met some of you, and you can muse almost anybody. What does he see as he watches you listening to this message about him? Are you somewhat restless, just waiting for it to end? Or is he saying, good to see you, old friend. I knew you would be here. Hopefully, that's what he thinks when he sees you sitting here. Or he might say, what a surprise it is to see you here. You must think your time is about up on earth. And that may be true for some people. You know, my friends, there's much I don't know, but I know one thing. One day, Jesus looked straight at me. I was stuck in a dark, slimy pit, and with electing love and compassion, he reached down, took my hand, and lifted me up. Someday, each of us will see Jesus face to face. When you see Jesus face to face, what will he see within you personally? Are you where you should be spiritually? If not, what are you going to do about it starting right now today? Don't say, well, I'm not where I should be spiritually. I'll work on it sometime next week. No, don't leave it until next week. What are you going to do to lift yourself up spiritually starting today? If you're still alive tomorrow morning, what will Jesus see when you wake up? What will he see tomorrow morning when you wake up? You know, you can fool pastors, not Dan, of course, but you can fool some pastors. You can fool your parents. You can fool your children. You can fool your boyfriend or your girlfriend. You can fool me. You can fool your spouse some of the time. But I tell you, though, that nothing is ever hidden from the eyes of Jesus. Psalm 90 in verse 8 says, addressing God, you, God, you have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. God knows every sin you have committed, that you are committed, or those that you would have committed if you had the chance. He sees all of them before himself. Luke chapter 12 and verse 2 says, nothing is covered up that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. Verse 3 says, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in private rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. I had R.C. Sproul for a lot of classes in seminary, and he used to love to quote the last part of that verse about our sins being shouted from the housetops. I would cringe, and he would smile all over. He loved the idea of all of our sins being shouted from the rooftops. That might make you withdraw a little bit. Now, Luke chapter 12 that I quoted to you was spoken to prideful hypocrites. That's who Luke was addressing. If you are free of pride and hypocrisy, I'd like to have you mention that to me before we leave here today. I would like to know how you arrived at a position where you have no pride and no hypocrisy. Now, don't confess pride and hypocrisy to me on your way out the door unless you're willing to deal with it now. I don't like to hear confessions. People feel better afterwards, and then they continue with the same thing. So don't say, well, I have a certain amount of pride. I'll say, okay, what are you going to do about it starting today? Right now, Jesus knows whatever it is that you're complaining about in your life. Are you complaining about your life in general? Your health, the pandemic, the political situation, your family? He sees who or what it is that we trust in to change bad things into good things. If you don't like something political that's going on today, who do you trust to change it? Another politician or Jesus Christ? Take whatever it is that you complain about or have complained about or you're going to complain about it. Okay, who or what can change it? The government, the church, the schools, no. It's Jesus Christ. He's the one that we have to go to in prayer. In this nation, if we were following God, we wouldn't need a pandemic to bring us to our knees in prayer. We would have already been there. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. There's certain things that have to take place before God will listen to those things that we're complaining about and take something that is bad and turn it into something that is good. It is safe to assume that every event in our lives is designed to bring us closer to our Redeemer. Remember, Jesus can see your thoughts. He can see who or what it is that you trust in, as well as see you physically. When the resurrected Jesus looks at you on Judgment Day, what will be the look on his face based on what it is that he sees in you? If you want Jesus to see you as a faithful follower, you can accomplish it. If you repent, call on him for salvation, and follow his teaching, his eyes will see you as an adopted child. What more can you ask for? What we often say, all of this stuff, and I'm saying stuck, so I don't know what else to use. All this stuff that happened on Passion Week, we can say all of that was prophesied. That may be true. But just the fact that certain things were prophesied, don't let that diminish the effect of what took place during Jesus' Passion Week. Think about some of other things that Jesus saw during his life. He saw his hometown and his family turn from him and reject him. He watched as people who saw his miracles not take him seriously. He observed authorities giving him a trial. Then they found him innocent. Then they condemned him to death on the cross, even though they found him to be innocent. One last thought. Remember, as Jesus saw the needs of the thief on the cross beside him, he also sees each of us. As he took care and forgave that repentant thief on the cross, he will do exactly the same thing as you, with you and I. So regardless of where you are in your life, if you think you're as bad as that repentant thief, that's okay. Because the thief on the cross repented, he was forgiven, and he saw Jesus in paradise that day. None of you are convicted of crimes like the thief was. And he was forgiven without any certain specific prayer or anything like that. But he trusted in Jesus as the Christ who died for people for their sins. And he was forgiven and welcomed into heaven. It's not too late for any of us. Let us pray. Father, we reflect on Jesus during his Passion Week, his suffering, his death, his resurrection. Father, we have all of this laid out for us in Scripture. The repentant thief, the thief on the cross, had none of this, and he was forgiven with scarcely any knowledge of Jesus. Father, all of us know so much. And yet, Father, we have to call upon you for forgiveness of our sins. Father, hear us. React to us. Look favorably upon us. Father, as we finish this service and take communion, remind us of who we are and before you and what it is that you see when you see us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.